The Republican-backed investigation of the 2020 election in Wisconsin continues. Now one of the local officials being deposed is making accusations against the person running the investigation. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich is accusing former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman of making false statements, and Genrich's legal team is asking for a court to penalize Gableman for it. We're getting the latest on the lawsuits, counter-lawsuits, and the investigation itself. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of this investigation expanding its scope? Do you want to see it continue, or do you think it's gone on long enough? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Laurel, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
A lot going on related to this investigation. Let's start with the most recent story, the one I just mentioned. The mayor of Green Bay, his lawyer accusing Gableman of false statements. What's going on?
So basically what's going on there is a disagreement over Genrich's level of cooperation with the election investigation. So Gableman subpoenaed actually the mayors of the state's five largest cities in October to provide information to investigators about how election administration went in their communities in 2020. Genrich was one of those mayors, of course, and there has been kind of confusion and back and forth since then about the power of the subpoenas. There have been lawsuits about the subpoenas, whether they're enforceable, the scope of the subpoenas, what needs to be provided in terms of documentation and in-person testimony. And what Gableman has said, both in legal filings and in some public comments, is that Genrich has refused basically to cooperate and provide in-person testimony. And Genrich's lawyers have pushed back now in this official capacity and said that's not true, that Gableman and Genrich's lawyers, the city of Green Bay has actually retained outside counsel for this case, had come to an agreement about postponing in-person testimony after documentation was reviewed, after the city turned over about 20,000 or more than 20,000 pages of election-related documents. And so they want Gableman to essentially publicly apologize for saying that Genrich hasn't cooperated by providing that in-person testimony yet. They want him to take out full-page ads in newspapers across the state saying that he made false statements, do things like undergo 3 hours of ethics training. So a pretty strong, pushback from Genrich's lawyers here saying, hey, Gableman has really misrepresented how this relationship has played out over the past few months.
And has the former Supreme Court Justice Gableman or his team, have they responded to this?
They haven't. I reached out for comment yesterday, and we haven't heard back from them on that. But it has certainly been a drumbeat from Gableman for the past several weeks at least, that there hasn't been the level of cooperation that he's wanted from specific officials across the state for his investigation. And that has prolonged the investigation. The investigation has gone past a couple different sort of understood deadlines. We first thought it was going to be done in the fall of last year. And he said that's partially because folks haven't, given him what he's asked for up until this point.
Let's talk about that, the wider sort of timeline of this investigation. As you said, it went past the initial goal deadline. We're hearing from Assembly Speaker Voss, who in effect convened this investigation. What's the latest talk about when this thing could wrap up?
So this is really evolving and complicated. We actually got a little bit of new information today. WisPolitics reported that Speaker Voss is saying that he wants the investigation to be wrapped up by the end of this month, by February, or the end of February. He said wrapped up by February. So I suppose that could be the end of February as well. And that's an interesting kind of development because, as I mentioned, the first understood deadline was the fall. Then Voss said the end of 2021. And now he's saying that this agreement, which he says isn't on paper, it's just a spoken agreement between himself and former Justice Gableman, is for, you know, essentially, you know, less than 2 months from now. And some of the new developments in terms of legal filings in this investigation include subpoenas that went out not long ago over the holidays between Christmas and New Year's that actually have dates for in-person testimony in mid-February. So if Gableman were to meet this new deadline that the speaker has mentioned, it would be a very, very quick turnaround from when this scheduled subpoenaed testimony would take place in mid-February to him wrapping up the investigation and issuing his recommendations.
Talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast, looking at the ongoing Gableman investigation, looking back at the 2020 election. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions about all the angles here going on. I will go to a caller now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
Hi. I'm a little jaded, so hopefully this doesn't offend anybody, but I think all politicians are like criminals. And, you know, if you got nothing to hide, why aren't you a little more forthcoming? That's, you know, I mean, I love my country. I just fear my government. That's all, you know.
Nick, thanks for the call. And, Laurel, that's been an argument from Gableman and I think Assembly Speaker Voss at some point. You know, why not cooperate if everything is hunky-dory? Is that something we've heard from the leaders of this investigation?
Absolutely, 100%. They have said just that. If there's nothing to hide, why don't you come forward and provide testimony? And the pushback from folks has been that kind of there are multiple parts of it. So I would say one of the primary arguments from these mayors, and Genrich has been a focus, as has Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, saying that they want testimony to be conducted in a certain way and agreed upon, particularly done in public. They don't want their testimony to be provided behind closed doors. They think it's something that the public should be able to witness, sort of what the questions are, what their answers are, because it's a taxpayer-funded investigation. They think that that's appropriate. Gableman wants these in-person interviews to be done behind closed doors because he says kind of having it out in public would give folks a heads up about what the questions are, people kind of later in line, right? He says that would compromise the integrity of the investigation. So that's one big element of pushback, kind of the public versus private element of these interviews. But there are several other things that are actually pending in a lawsuit about the enforceability of the subpoenas. And that lawsuit was brought by State Attorney General Josh Call, who's representing the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which has been subpoenaed in the case. And he says that the subpoenas aren't enforceable for a number of other reasons, including the investigation kind of going beyond its appropriate scope, becoming sort of a criminal enterprise, a law enforcement enterprise, not a legislative one. The fact that the scope of the subpoenas is so broad that they're inappropriate. It also makes some due process arguments. And really, you know, you mentioned that there have been so many developments in this story, right? We're actually waiting on a decision in that case that's expected to come either tomorrow or Monday. So we're going to get a lot of additional kind of information about how this is going to move forward within the next few days.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Speaking of new developments this week, news about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a separate court case. This was yesterday, I think. This was a suit now challenging Voss for not, as I understand it, Laurel, revealing some documents related to the investigation. What's the background on that?
So the background on that is there's a liberal group called American Oversight that has been for several months trying to get Speaker Voss to release documents about the election investigation. They want him to release contracts, communications between himself and Gableman, basically just information about kind of the structure of the investigation, the expectations, staffing, things like that. They argue that that's appropriate under public record because this is a taxpayer-funded effort. And Voss has been very resistant to that and has sort of echoed the sentiments of Gableman that I mentioned earlier about compromising the integrity of the investigation by making certain things public, giving folks a heads up ahead of time so they can be in sort of a defensive posture before they are asked to provide information. And so about election administration.
And so the new development here is a judge says, yeah, you're going to need to tell us something, right?
Right. So basically the new order is a judge saying, Speaker Voss, you need to sit for a deposition and explain why you haven't released some documents or what your decision-making process has been or your process for going about fulfilling records requests. Essentially, she said she's trying to make sure that there aren't documents in existence that he hasn't been putting forward because the group that's asked for them said that the record fulfillments that they've gotten haven't been sufficient.
We're talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. She's with us today with the latest, and there's a lot of latest, on the Republican-backed investigation of the 2020 election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see those communications about the Republican-backed investigation be made public? What do you think of the idea from some Republicans to get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission? What questions do you have about all the twists and turns in this investigation? Do you think it should still be going on, or do you think there's been enough between the courts and other investigations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk about Republican efforts to investigate the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. WPR's Laurel White stays with us, and you can join in with your questions, your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now with Sarah in Eau Claire. Sarah, hi.
Hi. I guess I was...
Are you still there, Sarah? Nope, I guess she is not. Let's see. Our producer says Sarah was hoping that whatever comes out of this has some teeth, that this isn't just a formal investigation without consequences. And Laurel, what is the stated goal of this investigation? Is it the idea that there will be flaws found in the 2020 election, or like the Legislative Audit Bureau's audit, ways to improve Wisconsin's election in the future? What is the final product supposed to be as far as we know?
I think the understanding right now, based on comments from leaders, is that there are going to be recommendations from former Justice Gableman for changes to Wisconsin election laws based on his review. So, like you said, kind of similar to the audit that we received from the Legislative Audit Bureau late last year, which made dozens of recommendations for changes to Elections Commission policies and state laws, it would be a kind of here's a roadmap moving forward, at least in Gableman's opinion, of ways to make elections more secure, to ensure more public faith and kind of the process.
Let's go now to Russ in Belleville. Russ, hello.
Hey, Al. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Russ?
Well, I'm really tired of the Republicans wasting our money on this witch hunt. I mean, the only reason my boss started this is because Trump pitched a fit with him, and like most of the other Republicans, they're afraid of Trump. So, look at Trump lost by 20,000 votes. Hillary Clinton lost by the same number of votes, and if she had pitched a fit like this, the Republicans have been all over calling her a sore loser. So it's just a problem in search of us, or not it's a solution in search of a problem, and they're just making it so that people don't trust the election anymore because they're the ones who are making all these false claims that have been shot down in every court and every review.
Russ, thanks for the call. Is there a sense, Laurel, among some that Republicans might be looking over their shoulders at former President Trump and doing this kind of investigation with him in mind?
Well, that is definitely something that's been part of the conversation. And we know that Speaker Voss has acknowledged that he has been in touch with former President Trump throughout this investigation. He said, it's not frequent, but that he has spoken with the former president several times to just kind of keep him apprised of what's going on. So there's certainly no indication that the former president isn't weighing on the mind of Speaker Voss as this process unfolds, and that he's had kind of an influence on it.
Thanks for that call, Russ. We'll go to Terry next in Green Bay. Terry, hello.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to mention that, you know, I think our mayor is just terrible. I mean, what he did in the 2020 election, as far as getting involvement from taking the money from Mark Zuckerberg and actually implementing and taking away the register of deeds to, violating her position and putting someone in there involved is just terrible. I mean, the guy should be run out of town. And tell you what, he's just going to be a one-time mayor. This guy is, and he should be facing Gableman. If you're not scared, just go ahead and do it.
Terry, thanks a lot for the call. Terry pointing toward what former Justice Gableman is talking about, a nonprofit funded in large part by Mark Zuckerberg, providing assistance to communities, including Green Bay, leading up to that election.
Right. That's a big part of Gableman's investigation, are these grants from the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which was founded and funded by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife. And Republicans have pushed back and said that those grants, particularly in the five largest cities in Wisconsin, which got the lion's share of the money, money did go to a number of other communities in Wisconsin from the organization to help with election administration. But the biggest cities got the biggest chunks of money. They say that that enabled undue influence by this outside group. And there's been a lot of pushback to that. From the other side, saying that communities needed this support and that reviews have found that the outside, individuals that were involved didn't do anything to skew election results or compromise the process.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Nate joins us next in Northeast Wisconsin. Nate, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to ask about, Nate?
I have a question about the type of investigation that former Justice Gableman is engaged in. I'm wondering if this sort of investigation has any precedence in Wisconsin history, and if so, have those earlier investigations have any limitations set on them in terms of scope or length?
Oh, interesting, Nate. Have we seen things like this before, Laurel?
That's a really interesting question, and one that I can't answer with 100% certainty. I know that I am not aware of anything like this, at least in the recent history of Wisconsin. I think, having a legislative body approve an investigation like this is something that is written into state law as possible. So, and there are structures for it. So it's not something that has just been brought up or, created for this process. But I'm not aware of anything recent that we can point to and say, hey, these were the parameters that were followed for another investigation, and those are, potentially need to be applied here.
Nate, thanks for calling. Jeff joins us next in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. I have a lot of opinions on various levels of this topic, not only nationally, but certainly in Wisconsin. I'm a resident of Superior and in Douglas County. I had a conversation with our county clerk regarding counting the ballots in the last election, and one of her concerns was, and she's actually a Democrat, was concerned that the military votes come by PDF file. So those military votes could have been switched. Those things need to be investigated. I'm glad that Speaker Voss is authorizing this investigation. There's other rumors of rest home residents voting or voting twice, things like that. Those things need to be investigated. And I personally believe, right or wrong, that Wisconsin's electors chosen for the Electoral College were not legitimate because of the absentee ballots in Wisconsin.
Jeff, thanks for the call. We had the Legislative Audit Bureau audit, Laurel, and they didn't find fraud or mistaken ballots at anything like the five-digit number range, right?
Right. So we have had, as you mentioned, that Legislative Audit Bureau audit, which was a statewide audit. We've had several audits conducted by the State Elections Commission that are routine after every election. We had a presidential recount in both Dane and Milwaukee counties that were conducted and found very few vote changes. And we also had, as folks I'm sure recall, several lawsuits after the 2020 election. And none of those were successful in court in proving any sort of widespread fraud or wrongdoing. And that's a big pushback on this investigation, is that there have already been so many inquiries to see if there had been things that would have changed the outcome of the election. And they just haven't been uncovered to this point.
Thanks for the call. Laurel, I just want to take our last minute and a half or so for another big angle. Some calls to get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission coming from some, but not all, Republicans. Can you give us the Cliff's Notes version of that?
So that kind of comes from the Legislative Audit Bureau audit of election administration in 2020. A lot of Republicans were concerned about Elections Commission policy changes that were recommended in that audit. They said that the number of recommended changes reflected poorly on how the Elections Commission has handled Wisconsin elections. And so they have said its administrator needs to step down. There need to be conversations about replacing it potentially. But that's something that we learned this week doesn't have the support from a very important person in Wisconsin politics, which is the Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu. If something like that was going to move forward from the legislature and even, you know, begin the path to the governor's desk, it would need support from someone like him. So it doesn't look like that kind of change is on the table, at least for now.
Laurel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, WPR's state capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. She was with us today to catch us up on a lot of the latest on investigations into the 2020 election still going on here in Wisconsin. You can find her reporting at WPR.org while you're there. You can, of course, check out the WPR Politics Podcast. Great way to stay on top of the latest going on here in the state. And follow us on Facebook. The Ideas Network Facebook page will keep you up to date as well.